Hello. Welcome to The Circle of Life, Part 2, Episode 5 with Wally Chartrand at the table. This is the final episode in the Circle of Life series, and in it, Wally offers the conclusion of his personal story of his journey with the teachings from the Circle of Life, and also some life lessons for all of us. Here's Wally.
1995, February, I was sitting in a circle over here at the Place Le Royal with a bunch of social workers, about 30 of us sitting in this room in a circle. And there was this fancy psychologist from Victoria, BC, and how it was that he was talking about the journey of life. He was talking about the journey of life. But part of what caught my attention was he was sharing how along that journey of life, right, that a lot of us, he said, will pick up what he called baggage. Baggage, right? And sometimes, he said, some of us, we pick up so much of that baggage, he said, it becomes really heavy. Stops us from moving forward, from growing, he said. Now, here's the thing about baggage, he said. It's a choice, he said. It's not a conscious choice most times, but regardless, it's still a choice, he said. For us to carry that, he said. That's a choice, he said. And if we can choose to carry something, we can also choose not to carry it. He said, would you like a demonstration? Can I have a volunteer? Freaking hand went up, right? So he put a chair in the middle of this big circle, had me come and sit there. He said, tell us about Wally. What would you like to know? Whatever you like, he said. Start from your very earliest memory and up till today, and wherever your story wants to take you, just let it take you. So I started talking about myself, next 45 minutes, an hour, however long it was, or whatever, right? Finally, I got to where we were that day. Fancy psychologist. Okay, here's what I picked up so far, he said. He said, I think you're carrying around your absent dad, he said, because you got it into your head that it was your fault somehow. And I think you're also carrying around some anger issues, he said, particularly with your mom, because again, you believe that she didn't do her job to protect you. And because she didn't do her job, some men were hurting you. And I can see you're also carrying around some shame, some guilt possibly, he said, because you did have that one person. But where were you? You were across the lake being selfish. I can definitely see that you're carrying around some anger issues, he said, with God, because you had a beautiful dream, but that was taken from you. And he said, you're also maybe carrying around some resentment, he said, because from where you sat, you didn't give up, but she gave up. Would you like to let some of that go today? He said, yeah, let's try. Well, let's begin with your dad, he said. Pick somebody in the circle that maybe can represent him. So, said that guy over there, put another empty chair in front of me, had the guy come and sit there, told the guy in that, okay, I don't want you to respond, nod, don't shake your head, just sit there, that's all you're going to do. Turned to me and said, can you promise me, whatever happens, that you will not touch this man in front of you? I said, okay, I can do that. All right, here's your dad, talk to him. What would you like me to say? Whatever you like, he said. Whatever you wanted to say, needed to say, he said, here's your opportunity, talk to him. So I started talking to this man in front of me, my Portuguese dad. And you know how it is, we all have that peripheral vision, right? So at the beginning, it was just surfacey kind of stuff, right? Because I was very much aware of all my coworkers watching and listening. But after about 10, 15 minutes, right, that peripheral vision turned into tunnel vision. And when that happened, all of a sudden, there he was. My Portuguese dad, John Souza. And when I got here, my blood just started to boil. And didn't take long, you cocksucking son of a bitch, and every word that I could come out of my mouth, yelling, screaming at the top of my lungs, where in the fuck were you? Where in the fuck were you? Where were you when I needed you? Where were you when I needed you? Until finally I just felt totally drained out. Got it all out of me. I'm done. I got it all out. fancy psychologist. Well, you're not quite done, he said. You're almost there, he said, but you're not quite done. Because now, he said, in order for you to truly let this go, he said, now you need to forgive your dad. The fuck are you talking about, right? Me forgive my dad. He said, yeah, he said. If that's what you really want to do and need to do, he said, to move on, to move forward in your life, you need to be able to forgive him. So I dug and I dug and I dug and I dug, and I managed to find that forgiveness. But before I forgave my dad, I told my dad, you know what? I missed out, right? I missed out. I wish I could have had a relationship with you. I feel like I was robbed. I missed out. But I want to let you know, you could have chosen to be in a relationship with me, but you didn't choose that. But you know what? I'm not going to carry you no more. I forgive you. So I forgave my dad. I let that go. My mom, she came and sat in front of me that day. By then I had a little bit of practice. Oh, I let her have it too. Swearing, yelling, and that. You just had one damn job. You just had one job. You just had one job. And you could not even do that job to protect me. And after yelling, swearing, screaming at her, I dug and I dug and I dug. And again, I managed to find that forgiveness. But in that process, I also realized my mom, she was only 19 when she had me. She didn't know very much about parenting. And I also realized that my mom, she was also trying to survive too, because she was getting victimized as well, right? So I forgave my mom. And in 1995, I said three magic words that day after I forgave my mom. Words that I hadn't said since over here somewhere. When I said to my mom, I love you. And since that day, anytime I'm on the phone with her, mom, I love you. Anytime we're together, when I hug her, I love you. Because I do love my mom. I do love my mom. So I let that go that day. My cuckoo, my great-grandmother, she sat in front of me that day. That was a little bit different because that wasn't about her. That was about me. And after telling her all the wonderful good things that she had given me, right, I was just about ready to ask for her forgiveness when that little light bulb went on in my head and I realized I was only 13, right? I was only 13. It wasn't because I didn't love her. It wasn't because I didn't respect her. I was just being normal. That's what that was about. I was just being normal. So that day, I had to forgive myself. So I forgave myself. God. Not too often you get to sit with God, right? But I can tell you today that I've sat with God. Because God sat in that chair that day in 1995. I saw God. God sat there. And I let God have it too. Every imaginable swear word, screaming, yelling, crying, snot coming out of my nose because it hurt like fucking hell. It hurt like hell, right? Losing my son. And after screaming, swearing, yelling at God, for I don't know how long until totally I felt drained out, I dug and I dug and I dug and I dug to the deepest part of me. And I found it. But before I forgave God, I asked God, can you forgive me? Can you forgive me? All those things I've thought, all those things I've said, can you forgive me as I can forgive you? Please forgive me. So I let that go that day. My ex, she came and sat in front of me. And for the first time, I found my missing guts when I admitted that I too had cheated on her. Can you forgive me? Just as I'm willing to forgive you. So I let that go that day as well. Got up off that chair and just light. Just like a huge weight had been lifted off of me. March 1995, a month later, and I was living in Thompson, working out there. My kids, they were living with their mom here in the city. She wasn't too healthy herself even, right? A lot of drinking, cocaine, Manitoba warriorship. Eh? That's where my kids were. But anyways, March 1995, about a month after that, I went, got off work, went to the liquor mart, bought my big bottle of Bailey's, right? Went home, drank that. Next morning, woke up, total blackout. I could not remember nothing from the night before. Hmm? And all of a sudden, just like a freight train, a thought hit me. And the thought was, what if? What if? What if? What if? What if last night my little girls in Winnipeg, what if last night me and Thompson, my little girls in Winnipeg, right? And me picking up the phone in Thompson, my little girls, Dad, 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 we're scared. What's that? What the hell you want? Scared the crap out of me. Literally scared the shit out of me. Hmm? Not being able to respond to them in a sober manner, right? So I haven't drank since. I haven't drugged since, right? Because that day in 1995, I realized that I had a responsibility. Should my kids ever need me, that I want to be there with a clear, sober mind. Hmm? So I haven't done any of that since. Right? So part of what I do here and that, and why I share what I share the way I do and that, right? Is that, well, several reasons. First reason that is, long time ago when I was much younger, I'd sit in these circles and, you know, these old people, they'd be speaking in that, right? And somewhere along their speech or at the end maybe, they would say, Asandane Maganak, they'd say. Translated, what that means is, all my relations, my relatives. And I would sit there thinking, I'm not related to you, we're not blood. But today I've come to understand what they mean by that. So today, if you've sat there, for example, and you've ever grown up with one or both of your parents not being a part of your life, you might understand a little bit what I went through. Or if you've ever experienced an adult hurting you when you were a child, you might understand a little bit what I went through. Or maybe we all have that one person, but all of a sudden they're taken from us, right? You might understand a little bit what I went through. Or if you've ever experienced that loss of a child, you understand a little bit what I went through. Or we might have that person, right? Again, you might understand a little bit what I went through. So that's what that means, Dinayamagana, my relations. That's how I've come to learn that, right? It's through those life experiences that we all share. May not happen exactly the same way or exactly the same time. But when we can relate to one another in that heart way, right? That's what truly makes us related. And in that, all of us are related, regardless the color of our skin, regardless what we believe in or don't believe in, regardless where we sit on that totem pole of life. We're all related. Right? And it's through those life experiences that we share. So that's the first reason why I share the way I do. Second reason that is because I am only a human being, I forget sometimes too. Especially when I'm driving down Main Street, right? And I see that smelly, stinky, dirty bum, right? I forget. Or driving down Ellis Avenue some evenings or nights, and I see that young lady standing in that dark alley, I forget sometimes. What happened to them along their journey, right? What happened to them? Why he's on Main Street like that? Why she's on the corner on Ellis Avenue somewhere, allowing those men to come and do what they do night after night after night? I forget. I have to remind myself sometimes. Because here's the thing, right? I can guarantee myself, and I can guarantee each of us, that when he was over here somewhere, right? He didn't dream that that's what he wanted to be when he grew up. Yeah? to be on Main Street, begging. Her dream when she was over here somewhere, right, was not to be on Ellis Avenue in that dark alley to allow those men what they do. Hmm? That wasn't her dream either. Hmm? So part of why I share this is before we judge one another, right, before we go and judge one another, let's take a little bit of time to learn our stories. Because all of us have a story, right? Every human being has a story. And if we take that time to learn that story, then maybe we'll look at that person in a different way. So that's part of why I share this as well and the way I do. Third and final reason, right, is we all can walk this journey maybe two different ways. One, poor me, poor me, oh, poor me, oh, poor me, poor me, right? That's one way. But you know what? Poor me never got me anywhere. Or we can choose to do something about it. We all have that power within us, all of us. We all have that spirit within us. To be able to at least challenge, to be able to look at, to be able to maybe even mend or fix whatever it is that's in our paths. We all have that power. And we can change, right? We all have that. So in that sense, Annette, again, my job, my role, these last two sessions with you, Annette, has simply been to put things out here, right? What you choose to do with that is totally up to you. Because my role, my job is not to shove anything down your throat, right? Simply just to put it there. And it's perfectly okay at the end of today for you to say, you know what, that Wally guy, he's full of shit. That's okay too now, yeah? Because I'm not here to shove anything down. My hope in that is maybe you've picked up something that kind of resonates with you. And if you can use that, more power to you. This doesn't just belong to me, it belongs to all of us. Yeah? And that's why I share it in the way I do. So what you do with that is totally up to you. Totally up to you. So, to wrap things up, to finish things up in that, we started in song, and so it's only fit that we end in song as well, right? So I think we're going to unplug one of the mics so that hopefully there's no feedback in the drum, the song, my voice, that kind of thing. Good to go? All right. So again, just bear with me just for a little while. Contrary song. It's to acknowledge that, you know what, you may be surprised to learn this, but you know what, none of us are perfect, right? There's not one perfect human being. Only Creator, only God is perfect, right? And because we're not perfect, after we leave here today and that, we still may say the wrong things, we still may do the wrong things, and that affects others, right? Worst thing when we realize that our words or actions affected somebody in a negative way, worst thing is to beat ourselves up, waste of energy, I say. The best thing we can do in that, when we realize that our words or actions affected somebody, is we can go back to that person, we can say from our heart, I'm sorry. Yeah? That's the best we could hope for. Right? So it's okay to make mistakes from time to time. Nobody expects us to be perfect, and because of that, we shouldn't expect ourselves to be perfect either. So it's okay to make those mistakes. So I want to leave you with that. And again, I just want to say from my heart in that, thank you so very much for allowing me to be part of your circle these last 2 weeks and to share a little bit with you. And I think what we're going to be doing a little bit shortly after is we're going to have an opportunity maybe for us to come back together and maybe share some more ideas, share some more thoughts, or even maybe answer some questions that you might have. So with that, I just want to say, Miigwech, 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 aha, Miigwech.